Allah, Allah, start your day with remembrance of Allah. Start your day with remembrance of Allah.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Dear viewers and listeners of Madani Channel, welcome back to another fantastic episode on the Silsila The Early Echo. Wherever you are in the world, whichever city, whichever country, whatever season you are experiencing, we hope that you are well and that you are safe. Alhamdulillah Azawajal, we are back with another beautiful topic of discussion. And once again, I am honored, we are honored to have our Hazrat Mawlana Abdul Qadir Mu'ini Qadri in studio with us. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
How is Mawlana Sahib doing?
Alhamdulillah, Saf.
Alhamdulillah, ala kulli hal. Well, we have a beautiful topic of discussion with regards to why are we here in this dunya? Why are we here in this world? What is the purpose of this earthly life? This is what we are going to be covering today. The reality of our life, the reality of life, why we are here, inshallah. A little bit more on that later, inshallah. First, let's make some good intentions. Let's recall the beautiful hadith, niyatul mu'mini khayrun min amalihi. The intention of a believer is better than his action. So make the good intentions right now. Oh Allah, I'm listening, I'm watching this program, the Silsila of Madani Channel, for your pleasure and happiness, for the pleasure of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What I learn, I will try to practice and convey that message to others. Ya Allah Azawajal, whatever thawab I gain from this, Ya Allah, from this watching, from this listening, and we'll do the same from this presenting, Ya Allah, accept it in your court, Ya Allah, and transfer all of this as Isha li thawab to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam through his wasil and sadqa to all the Anbiya alayhimus salam, Sahaba ikram, Ahlul Bayt, Awliya Allah, to our parents and to all marhumin as well. Inshallah Azawajal. We have a beautiful kalam which we will listen to in a moment. So make good intentions for listening to the kalam as well. And let's move to this inspiring kalam. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Allah karam, Allah karam, Allah karam, Allah karam, hazir hai tere. साल तलब फरमा हमको हर साल वो शहर दिखा हमको हर साल करें हम तवाफ हरम
अल्लाह करम अल्लाह करम अल्लाह करम अल्लाह करम
وقوفِ عرفات حرم ویسر وقوف عرفات جلوا میں مجھے دلیفا اور مینا کا دیکھوں مولا یا خدا ہے جیب بولا آ کے میں کعبہ دیکھوں کاش ایک بار میں پھر میٹھا مدینہ دیکھوں جھوم کر خوب کروں خانہ کعبہ کا طواف جھوم کر خوب کروں خانہ کعبہ کا طواف پھر مدینے کو چلوں گنبد خضرا دیکھوں مولا یا ربنا ارحم لنا یا ربنا ارحم لنا مولا
یا ربنا
اللہ ارحم لنا
اللہ
یا ربنا
اللہ
ارحم لنا
تیرے گھر کے پھیرے لگاتا رہوں میں سردا شہر مکہ میں آتا رہوں میں
یا ربنا
اللہ
ارحم لنا
اللہ
یا ربنا
اللہ
ارحم لنا
الہی میں پھرتا رہوں گرد کعبہ الہی میں پھرتا رہوں گرد کعبہ یوں قسمت کی گردش مٹاتا رہوں میں سردا شہر مکہ میں آتا رہوں میں
یا ربنا
اللہ
ارحم لنا
اللہ
یا ربنا
اللہ
ارحم لنا
الہی تو ایسا مقدر عطا کر الہی تو ایسا مقدر عطا کر ہمیشہ ہی طیبہ میں آتا رہوں میں سردا شہر مکہ میں آتا رہوں میں
یا ربنا
اللہ
ارحم لنا
اللہ
یا ربنا
اللہ
ارحم لنا
اپنا حرم دکھا دے دونوں جہاں کے مالک اپنا حرم دکھا دے دونوں جہاں کے مالک قسمت میری جگہ دے دونوں جہاں کے مالک
اے میرے مولا
مولا
مولا مولا
برسوں سے آرزو ہے طیبہ کی جستجو ہے برسوں سے آرزو ہے طیبہ کی جستجو ہے ایک بار پھر دکھا دے ایک بار پھر دکھا دے دونوں جہاں کے مالک
اے میرے مولا
مولا
مولا مولا
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم ماشاءاللہ عز و جل سبحان اللہ عز و جل an inspiring kalam and continue listening to these kalams as well continue listening to the recitation of the glorious Quran in fact we must dedicate some time every day of our lives even if it's a few minutes but consistency is important for the recitation of Qur'an Pak, Durood Pak, Istighfar, Dhikrullah, seeking knowledge of Deen from its authentic sources, which Dawud Islami provides. Because these are those things that are going to help you and I in this world, the grave and the hereafter, inshallah, Azza wa Jal. So the reality of life, What is the reality of life? And we as believers, as Muslims, as ummatis of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this has been clearly defined for us in the glorious Quran, that we are created, not just human beings, but even the jinn kind. We have been created to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Clearly defined. And how do we do that? By obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How do we do that? By following what the Quran commands us. By following what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has commanded us. By imbuing our lives and imitating the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The sunnah is a complete and comprehensive way of living. It is a complete lifestyle, the perfect lifestyle for that individual who's wise enough, who's intelligent enough, that they want to live this short life to the maximum benefit. That only lies in the sunnah, it only lies in obeying Allah and obeying His Rasul, Azza wa Jalla wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I want to share very quickly a parable before I bring Mawlana Abdul Qadir Sam in, which you may have seen and heard some time back, which was beautifully done by our Nigran of South Africa. And if you haven't, then let's derive some lessons from this. There was a person who took his old shoes and went to throw it into the bin because it was now torn, tattered, used and finished, expired. And as he threw it into the bin, the shoe began to talk to him and tell him that, oh man, you are discarding me, you are throwing me away, but know something, that me, the shoe, I had a purpose. My Creator created me for a specific purpose, which was to give comfort to your feet, which was to protect your feet from the thorns, from the stones. I took those thorns and stones on my chest and I protected your feet. I gave you comfort. So I served my purpose and now you're discarding me. But know this, O man, that you as a human being, as a slave of Allah Azza wa Jal, if you did not complete your purpose, if you are not fulfilling your purpose, then know this, O man, that I, the shoe, am better than you. Is that shoe better than you and I?
Allah.
Question to ask ourselves that, okay, my purpose in life is to worship Allah Azza wa Jalla. It is to prepare for what is coming, the grave and the hereafter. Am I fulfilling my purpose or not? If not, then as we've seen from the parable, the shoe is better than us. The electronic item that fulfills its purpose is better than us. And we are supposed to be the best in the creation of Allah Azza wa Jal, made in the best form. But yet, many of us are disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, disobedient to the Quran, to Islam, to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So what purpose am I living this short life? This is it's a serious topic that especially every Muslim out there needs to ponder over and needs to ask himself that question, whether I'm fulfilling my duty.
And Masab, you brought our attention to what really matters, priority. Our priority as a Muslim should be pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and worshipping Him.
Mm-hmm.
That is the sole purpose that we have been created for in the light of the Holy Quran.
Mm-hmm.
And another point, right? As Masab has mentioned, that the shoe that serves its purpose, and as opposed to us being alhamdulillah, the best of creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we don't fulfill our purpose of life, then that shoe is better off, that is fulfilling its purpose that it was designed for, than us, as opposed to not fulfilling the purpose we were designated to. As Masab has made beautiful comparison, and this should really enlighten us, at the same time provoke us. The heedlessness within us, it should get rid of it and remove it, inshallah, Azza wa Jalla. Because let's say, Masab, many people, they ponder over in their life, you know. Some people will say, okay, I haven't truly got the true calling of my purpose. I'm waiting for the true calling.
Right.
Whereas the true calling of man is given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not created human being and jinn except to worship Him.
Absolutely.
This is the true calling of a human being.
Mm-hmm.
And as a human being, this is our purpose. And if we fail in this, then we are failing in the core purpose for which we have been created. The beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked, Ya Rasulullah, ayyul a'mali afdal? Yani, which action is the best? And the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, your iman in Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The very first thing, it begins from there. That is the very foundation of Islam. Thereafter, the fara'id, to follow inshallah azza wa jal, you know, our salah and our fasting and our hajj, zakat, inshallah, and those obligatory actions that have been prescribed over us as a believer, as a follower of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Again, following Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is also has been commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when we say following Masab, it doesn't mean how we follow people on social media with just one click of a button. Following Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam means completely being immersed in his love and to emulate his sunnah that he has imparted with us. That is the true meaning of following the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and protecting the dignity of Islam by following into the footsteps of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then inshallah we can truly call ourselves Muslims, that we are practicing Muslims. Many people, they take pride in saying, Wasab, that I'm not a practicing Muslim. And that, it seems like that somehow is going to give them some leeway, some concession.
Like it justifies, like, okay, you know what, I don't read my salah, I don't practice sunnah because I'm not a practicing Muslim. Like, but don't they realize there's accountability in the hereafter?
Yeah, they wear it as a badge, you know, to tell people openly. Like, there's no shame when they say this, you know. I'm not a practicing Muslim.
Don't judge me, I'm not a practicing Muslim.
Yes. So, then... what does Islam teach you? If you're not a practicing Muslim, then how else would you define yourself?
Well, dear viewers and listeners of Madini Channel, some serious questions to ask ourselves. We should also ask ourselves, of course. But, you know, when you look at different segments of society, and many Muslims in particular live this hedonistic and sometimes nihilistic approach of life, that, you know, I'm here for a short time, we live once, so let's enjoy ourselves to the maximum. And you'll see the same bunch of people that are there at the pubs, at the clubs, at the bars, singing, dancing, intermingling with the opposite gender, drinking alcohol, taking drugs, you know, following in the footsteps of shaitan. And, you know, they don't want you to judge them. Yes, we are not the judges. It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who's going to judge you. Who's going to judge myself? What answer am I going to give on the day of judgment when I'm all alone? What's going to happen to me when I'm all alone in the grave? No supporters, no friends, no backups there. What's going to be your answer? I didn't have time, Ya Allah. I was too busy in A, B, and C. If you were too busy in that, then who's going to worry about you? Your real friends are not those who hold your hand and take you towards vices and sin. They are going to testify against you and you against them on the day of judgment. Your true friends are those who take you to the masjid, who remind you about salah, about sunnah, about Quran, who remind you about your purpose, that you are here for a very short period of time. Don't get misled that, you know, I'm young, I've got energy and, you know, okay, when the time comes, then I'll become more Islamically inclined and, you know, I'll obey Allah Azza wa Jalla. You don't know. We have no guarantee for the next day. We have no guarantee for the next moment or minute.
Masab, very beautifully, as you Alhamdulillah have said it, Shahzadi Huzur, and he was imparting some words of advice. And one thing I do remember, he said, on the same token that Masab is mentioning, that those people who say that, you know, there's still time, I'll continue practice, inshallah, I'll start practicing it later. And that later never comes. He says, the example of those people is like that student who's writing exam papers. And he hasn't prepared for it. He hasn't prepared for the exam paper. And when he sat down to write the paper, he's writing down all the answers. And maybe answer number two, answer number three, he got it incorrect. Despite, you know, trying his best. Because he never prepared for it.
Yeah.
Because he thought there will come a moment when I'll prepare for it. Right. And then finally the exam came all of a sudden. Death also comes all of a sudden.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, for exam, you have the schedule. For death, there is no schedule.
Mm.
Not even a second it is delayed for.
Mm.
Then he says, once you submit your paper, then you go back home and you realize, I wrote the wrong answer.
Mm. Mm.
Too late.
Yeah.
There is nothing in the world you can do about it.
Mm.
Worse than this, a person who has departed from the world feels when it is too late. I haven't done anything. And by the time he realizes it's too late. So before it's too late, we need to get it going and kickstart, inshallah, azza wa jal. Get the ball rolling. Get in motion and start taking this life seriously, as opposed to living a life of oblivion. Oh, all is good and well. Nothing is going to happen.
They say death is the terminator of all pleasures. We need to take a spiritual defibrillator and shock ourselves a little bit, a lot, and awaken us from this slumber that we are in. This heedlessness, this negligence of just living our life for dunya. You live in dunya for akhirah. You don't attach your heart to this world. Look at the lives of the pious people. We keep going back to them. Why? Because they were successful. And that is the true meaning of success. Ultimately, the true success is if you leave this world with iman.
Subhanallah.
That is the ultimate success. Whatever degrees or PhDs, whatever influence you have in society, it all ends when the angel of death comes. What if a person leaves without iman? But that person worldly wise was very successful. So is he truly successful? No. Because in the hereafter, there's only loss upon loss. How do I want to leave this world? How do I want to be raised on the day of judgment? You know, our elders tell us, you must think ahead, have foresight, have insight. Now, we need to think ahead for what is beyond. How do I want to leave? How do I want to be raised? Where I want to be? We all want to go to Jannah, paradise. But if I'm not going to work, I'm not going to get any wages. I'm not going to get that salary. No work, no pay. So how am I going to get Jannah just like that? How am I going to attain the pleasure of Allah Jalla Jalaluhu when I'm doing everything or most things in His disobedience? And I'm obeying Shaitan, walking in His footsteps, obeying my nafsul ammara, my ego, my desires. So what are we feeding? Are we feeding our nafs and obeying the nafs and not fulfilling our purpose? And not looking at what's the reality of this short life, because any moment it's lights out, and those lights are not going to come back on. So we need to shock ourselves into this reality. Dear viewers and listeners out there, if we don't do this now, who's going to have the regret? I'm going to have it. You're going to have it. And nobody's going to be there to hold our hand. Because what answers am I going to have on the day of judgment when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks us how you spent your life? How, where you earned your wealth, how you spent your wealth. I can't say, no, hey, I'm working hard, this is mine. Who gives you the opportunities? Who opens your doors? Allah Jalla Jalaluhu, He's the creator, He made us. If you are walking somewhere and you see a watch or something electronic on the floor, you know that somebody created this for a purpose. You know somebody made it. And you as a human being, we as human beings, we are here. Allah Jalla Jalaluhu, the creator, made us for that purpose, a specific purpose. Today we have so-called intellectual people, even some scientists, they're still going round and round and round trying to figure out, is there a purpose to life and what is that purpose? That's how intelligent and intellectual they are. But you and I, even without any degree, even without any schooling, we can understand if we learn that this is the purpose clearly defined.
Masab, as you mentioned, that people find it very easy to indulge in vices as opposed to, you know, Shaitan makes it very easy and very enticing, as he had promised that he will make this world seem so enticing and he'll beautify it and he'll present it so beautifully and will lure us in into its traps.
Yes.
And we are falling for that trap.
Allah.
And sometimes you even find people also saying that Islam, practicing, you know, the commandments of Islam, it's hard. I know such people that they deem it to be hard to go and wake up for Salah, to go and perform Hajj, to do the right thing, to be fair in their dealings, in their business, in their trade. They find it easy to cheat and deceive others, you know, as opposed to earning hard, honest income, and so on and so forth. Whereas the beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, deen is easy. Now, he's saying deen is easy. Truest words ever spoken, subhanallah. Now, we need to look at it in contrast. If we think that deen is hard, then I would like to ask this question to our viewers. What would you prefer to hold, you know, or prefer to opt for? You know, you opt in, opt out. So let's weigh our options. Would you rather find it easy to step into Jahannam than stepping into Jannah? It's as easy as that, Master.
Right, right.
Then you can clearly see, no, I find it very hard to even touch the fire. If we can't touch the fire of this world, which has been cooled over and over, hundreds of times, and we still can't touch it, imagine the unimaginable torment of Jahannam. And we find those actions easy that will lead us there. Whereas we find those actions hard that will lead us to Jannah.
The pathway towards Jahannam is full of attractions and entertainments. It's a smooth sailing pathway.
And he says, and Shura says, easy and lazy.
Easy and lazy. And he says that, you know, most of the people are on this pathway because there's no difficulties there. But the pathway towards Jannah, towards paradise, is a steep hill where there are so many obstacles, difficulties that very less people are on this pathway, and even more than that reached their destination. So I need to ask myself in this life, which pathway I want to choose? The difficult pathway that leads to Jannah, or the easy pathway that leads towards Jannah? But even that too, the difficult pathway towards Jannah, if we train ourselves, it's not so difficult then. So the person who is saying that, you know, hey, it's too hard, it's too difficult. Why? Why is it so difficult? Who has made it difficult? Has society made it difficult? Have I myself made it difficult? Because I'm the number one person who creates obstacles in my own life, actually. I need to create the mindset that, you see, if a person is born in this environment, where this Quran, Sunnah, you know, all of these beautiful Islamic values are taught from the word go, then it's not difficult for them.
Yes.
But if I'm in an environment or with friends or with influences that only talk about dunya, about the world, about making money, about driving nice cars, materialism, and then somebody tells me, you know what, the deen teaches this, then I may find it like difficult because I need to adjust. And if you create the mindset, then you can adjust. Anybody, because look, seasons come and go, always changing. Not every day is the same. Life fluctuates. One day you're sad, one day you're happy, one day you're angry. So like how life fluctuates, if you learn the deen, then you adjust to that. If it's in your mindset to adjust, you can adjust. Because us as well, we come from environments, like here in South Africa, from a Western environment, that's where we come from. But subhanAllah Azza wa Jal, through the blessings of joining this beautiful Madani movement of Dawud Islami, you know, the mindset has been created. And you know what? This is the purpose. There's a support. Dawud Islami is a support structure. And there's practical things you can do. There's activities that you can do. Not just theory. Practical things that can be done in order to create the mindset, in order to implement the sunnah in our lives, in order to become practicing Muslims. So also, it goes back to environment. If you're in that atmosphere, if you're in that environment, if you're with friends that are in the opposite, you need to cut them loose. They are no good for you. Those are not your friends. They are pulling you down, actually. And you'll only realize this in the grave and the hereafter, that these were not my friends, actually. They were just there for fun. They were just there for entertainment purposes. But they didn't pull me back, remind me about my purpose. They didn't pull me back and show me the reality of life. They didn't pull me back and, you know, take me for salah and to remind me that as a Muslim, these are your responsibilities and duties. So Dawud Islami is there to hold our hand, to teach us, to empower us, to guide us, uplift and motivate us. Dawud Islami is there to create the practical environment, starting with yourself and in your home, with home dars, with Balighan classes in your home as well.
It has created a chain reaction, Master.
It has, mashallah.
Islah has its own way of spreading itself, alhamdulillah. And with the mission of our beautiful movement of Da'wat Islami, is that I must strive to reform myself and the people of the entire world.
Inshallah.
It has such a deep meaning, Master. Mm-hmm. Like, for example, the concept of infradi koshish is there.
Mm-hmm.
And that only comes when the person himself is rectified.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's in the mahol.
Yes.
And then
yes.
he makes infradi koshish. And then this rectification extends to the others.
Right.
And then they carry it forward. Mm-hmm. And alhamdulillah, in this way, it has been spreading worldwide, alhamdulillah. And right now, alhamdulillah, your Da'wat Islami has covered most of the globe, alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah.
Subhanallah.
The message has reached to 190 countries.
Subhanallah.
And there's about 10,000 centers of Da'wat Islami across the globe. For what purpose? Not for entertainment purposes. For serious business in bringing us back to fulfill our purpose. And the change starts with you. If you're a mother or father or grandparent or an elder sibling, the change starts with you actually. It reminds me of this one pious person where a lady, a mother brings her son and says that, please talk to him. He always eats this sweet dish, too much is eating. And he said, okay, come back next day. And they came back next day. She asked the same, please give him some advice. He said, okay, come back the next day. He came back the next day. He said, my son, please don't do this. It's bad for your health. You know, he advised him. He took his advice. But the lady said before she left that, why you waited? Why were you delayed to give him advice? He said, because me, I used to eat the dish also. Okay. I used to also enjoy that. So I said, let me first stop it myself. So my words will have an athar, an effect on him when I advise him to stop it as well. So the change starts with you to realize your purpose. And then you spread it to your family, your offspring, your siblings. You spread it there. And then you perfume the society and your community with the fragrance of the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You look at Amir Ahl Sunnah, Damat Barakatuhu Aliyah, as a kamil wali of Allah, as a perfect guide in this day and age. Blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Blessed by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Huthi paak rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. And what is he always talking about? Allah and his Rasul. Azza wa jalla wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Always talking about Sahaba ikram alayhim ridwan. Ahlul bayt adhar. Awliya Allah. The sunnah. Quran. Salah. This is the only things he's talking about. Bringing our attention back towards, again, fulfilling our purpose. Opening our eyes, removing the blinkers and the blinders, the blinds from our eyes, our minds, our hearts, that you know what? You're going to return to Allah very soon. Very soon you are going to be judged. The angels are writing down. I can hide from everybody else. I can't hide from Allah Jalla Jalaluhu. I can't hide from the angels. They're recording everything. Whatever I do, whatever I say, whether I control my tongue or not, they're writing down every letter. Whether I control my actions or not, they're writing down every action, no matter how insignificant we think it is. So, should I not be wise, truly wise, and truly intelligent, and fulfill my purpose, and obey Allah Azza wa Jalla and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? I know you keep hearing about these things, but have I started? Because I need the constant reminders. Shaitan is always, you know, on like a board, plotting and planning, how do I bring this person down? How do I bring this man down, this woman down? How do I destroy this boy's iman, this girl's iman? How do I destroy the good deeds that they are doing? He's always plotting and planning, strategizing. So we have to, since he's always doing it and he's laying his traps everywhere, so constantly we have to be on the lookout that we don't fall into one of his traps. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Salatu wa salamun alayka ya sayyidi ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We're talking about the reality of life, the purpose of life, and what it means to be a good Muslim. Well, some people may maybe argue that my schedule is just too busy to learn Islam. My schedule is just too busy to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Obey Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So how can we advise them to take out some time? What kind of facilities do we offer them as Da'wat Islami to empower them with authentic knowledge and with we can say like support in order to remind them constantly to practice.
Masab, if motivation is there, like for example, if you have enthusiasm for anything, and I can maybe personally relate to it. Like for example, if I'm passionate about something, even if there is no time, I know my schedule is busy, I work 8 hours a day or 10 hours a day, 12 hours a day, I will still find time to invest some time in what really motivates me, in what really keeps me going, in what really, you know, encapsulates as a person, as to my values, as to who I am. So
you'll take out the time.
Yes, you will. You will. Mm. For example, your children, you love your children, and you'll make time for them. Unless somebody who doesn't love their children, that will be understandable.
You get those people as well.
Right? You get those. And they don't make time for their children because they don't love their children. For example, there are people who don't make time for their parents, for their wives, or for their family members in general.
Right.
But they have rights over him, over that person. As a part of Islam, as much as it is Huququllah, the first and foremost, we are also advised to keep the rights of others, to not violate the rights of others. They have rights over you. Again, it goes against the values of Islam. If somebody thinks, you know, narrow-mindedly, you know, Islam is just this. No, Islam governs every facet of your life.
Subhanallah.
Whether it's our social life, business life, personal life, spiritual life. You know, even the health that concerns us, even in that regards, Islam has provided guidance. Subhanallah.
Mashallah.
Even with regards to transactions, marriages, relationships, in every direction we turn to, with regards to Islam, the guidance is there.
Subhanallah.
So if we are passionate about Islam, if we love our deen, if we love our Allah, we love the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we will find time to invest in it and to know more about it. For example, people who are passionate about space travel, they learn about all sorts of spacecraft and, you know, which organizations are sending people to moon and to Mars and so on and so forth. Although it benefits them, not even a little bit, but they'll make time to investigate and read news on it and consume material and content on these matters because they are passionate about it. With the same token, if somebody is passionate about Islam and its values and about and he loves Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he will make time.
Well, dear viewers and listeners of Madani Channel, some beautiful Madani Pearls by Mullah Abdul Qadir Sahib. And that's it. We have to make the time. We have to take out the time before time is up. Our time is also up. But take out the time and you won't regret it. Attach yourself to Dawud Islami because you'll have constant reminders about fulfilling your purpose. Until next time, keep watching Madani Channel. Sallu ala al-Habib.
Sallallahu
ta'ala ala Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Start your day with remembrance of Allah. Start your day with remembrance of Allah.